Dear friends in Jesus Christ, this is part three of a new brochure I'm sharing with you. The title is, What If You Died Today? As I think about that title, it's so tragic. A few days ago, people boarded a small jet airplane and they boarded a helicopter. And did any of the people of that group of 67, did any of them think when they got on the plane and the helicopter that they would die that day? We just never know. So why am I doing this series? Well, it's my prayer that the Holy Spirit will use this brochure to convert those who are not yet ready to die today. For us who are ready, it would build up the assurance of our salvation. And the other thing it would do, it would equip us to be able to use a brochure like this in order to help other people know about the one way to heaven. We're on part three today. Next week is the final part. These are things to keep in mind. Many have set their own requirement for heaven, but what is the problem with that, though? They think that what they're doing is going to meet that requirement, but the problem, though, is many are unaware that God requires us to be holy in all our behavior. They're not aware that God requires us to be as perfect as He is. We've talked about these things already. Let's go on to a new part here. Why are we all helpless? Well, it's very simple. We are not holy in all our behavior. We're not as perfect as God, so we are helpless to save ourselves. That's really what it comes down to. I want to give you six examples of the Bible helping us know that we are helpless. So with all these passages, they're showing us that we are sinners, that we have fallen short. Isaiah 53, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. So there is God's way, there is our own way, and over again, we are going our own way, doing our own thing. We have gone into sin. God wants us to know that. He wants us to admit that. Isaiah 64, all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. So here we are. We have this plan, we do it as best we can, and we're kind of thinking, wow, this came out great, this is almost perfect. But if we could only see the holiness and the perfection of God, we would see that our best efforts are like a filthy garment. We just can't make that comparison, but if only we could, we would see it that way. God wants us to know that is true. Romans 3, there is none righteous, not even one. What do we have to be to get into heaven? We have to be righteous. What does the Bible say? There's not even one who is righteous. God wants us to know we are helpless. Romans 3:12, there is none who does good, not even one. So we think we're doing good. We think we're at God's level, and yet we're not. God wants us to know that. Romans 3:20, by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. So we can take everything in the Bible, we can do it as best we can for our entire life, and yet it is not going to justify us. It is not going to make us right in the sight of God. So many people don't know that, and they try, but God wants us to know it will not work for our salvation. And then, of course, everybody knows 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? That would be that we live a holy, perfect life. We've all fallen short of that. That's what God is telling us. When we come to grips with the fact that we are helpless, then we're finally open to something else. As long as we don't think we're helpless, we're going to hang on to whatever we think is going to save us. God wants us to know whatever it is, it will not work. Let it go and be open to the truth of God's word. That's where we're going here. Because we've all sinned, God wants us to know we are helpless. Do you agree with that? Are you helpless? I hope you know that. Let me put it this way. Are you now fully convinced that no matter what you do, no matter what you give, no matter how obedient you live, you are helpless to meet God's requirement. I hope everybody can say yes to that. But then some people start thinking this way, though. They wonder, did God lower the bar? Thinking about that topic, when the test is too difficult, what does a professor do sometimes? When I say that, it takes me back to my first regular quarter of seminary, the fall quarter of my first year. I had a professor, and it was the first time he had been a professor. He had just gotten his doctorate, and now here he is teaching us first-year students in our first quarter. Boy, that first test, it was so difficult. He forgot that he knew at that time a whole lot more than us first-year students, and he had to curve the grade. I think he said, okay, if you're 80 or above, that's an A. If you're 70 or above, we're going to make that a B. And that way, about half of us passed, I think. A lot of people didn't even pass. It was so difficult. So he learned something, and we did too, but he curved the grade, though. Well, since none of us are holy in all our behavior, since none of us are as perfect as God, many presume that being perfect and holy must not be what God requires. They presume that God must have curved the grade. God must have lowered the bar, but that's not the case so at all. What did Jesus say? He said, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets." He did not come to abolish the Old Testament scriptures. Rather, I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. So what can we say about Jesus? Since we could never meet God's requirement, he came and he met it for us. He is our perfect substitute. So it's so important we know we are helpless, we could not do it, but God in his great love, he has done it for us. So wonderful what God has done for us. I want to talk for a moment how Jesus is our whipping boy. It's such a harsh way to put it. But it makes the point, though. So if we go back to the time of Henry VIII, Henry VIII only had one son, and he was Edward VI. So when Edward VI was in school, he had another boy his age learning in school with him, and that boy was the whipping boy. So every time Edward did something wrong, he did not get whipped, but the whipping boy got whipped. I think you can see where we're going here, can't you? We are the ones who have done wrong, and yet Jesus, he received our sins, he received our whipping, he received our eternal punishment. It's a way to remember what he did for us. We have the sin, he took the punishment. It's so amazing that God would love us that much. Some key facts about Jesus. I think you know all of these already, but let's go over them real quick. So who he is, he's the very Son of God. He might look like an ordinary man, but in fact, he is the second person of the Holy Trinity, but yet he has flesh on and he looked like an ordinary man. Think about today's gospel reading, all the extraordinary things he did. That's helping us understand he is God in human flesh. How he lived, tempted in every way just as we are, yet he never ever sinned. No matter what he said or did, as all recorded in the Bible, not even once did he sin. If you think he sinned, you need to understand the Bible a little bit more properly. What he received on Good Friday, so he received all of our sins, and then he received our eternal punishment. Now we might say, wait a minute, I didn't even live yet. I didn't even commit my sins yet. But let's understand, God is an awesome God. The Bible says that God knows the end from the beginning. So prior to any of us sinning, God knows every sin that would be committed all the way to the end of time. God gathered all of them up and then he put them on Jesus. And then he poured out his eternal wrath upon Jesus. Now, he didn't take our temporal punishment. Has anyone here ever been driving too fast and gotten a ticket? Okay, I don't see your hands going up that high, kind of like this. Okay, I got a couple myself, but it's been a long time ago, thank God. But anyway, though, we had to pay the price, didn't we? So we did it, and we had to pay the fine. Well, so he didn't take away our temporal punishments, but rather he paid the price for our eternal punishment. He fully paid it. He declared it to be paid in full. He declared that with what I have done, because of who I am, I have made the way for everyone to be with God forever. So he did that for us. What else about Jesus? Why he died for us sinners? He did that to bring us to God. Think about it like this. God the Father is up here, we're down here, and we have this giant barrier of sin, and there's no way for us to be able to get to God. So who is Jesus? He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So he took it away, and he opened the path from us to God. It's only open, though, through Jesus. We're going to come to more about that in a moment, but how God showed Jesus victory, if you could picture Jesus on the cross right after he died on Good Friday, he looks like the biggest loser, but then on Easter Sunday, God raises him back to life and shows that in fact, he is the biggest winner. He won over sin, over death, over the devil. God wants us to know that is true. Most of the world doesn't know, but we know. God wants us to rejoice in that, and at the end of the world, everyone is going to see the truth. Let's not wait until then to know it is true. Let us know now it is true, and let us fully embrace our Lord Jesus Christ alone as our Savior. The final part today, is Jesus the only way? I think you know he is already, but one key passage here, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Can you see how all this fits together that I've talked about recently here in the brochure? So God is requiring perfection. We're all very short of perfection. So what has Jesus done? He's lived the perfect life. When God shows us that we are helpless and God gives us the gift of faith by which we are trusting in Jesus, what happens is the perfect life that he lived is credited to us. So even though we are not perfect in reality, God sees us to be perfect because we have God-given faith in Christ alone. That's the only way that we can meet God's requirement. That's why Jesus is the only way to the Father. Think about this other passage here in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. So I'll explain the image in a moment, but with the passage, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So if you take a look at the image there, you can see that over on this side, that would be creation. And we know that very shortly after creation, that was the fall into sin and the promise of the Savior. You go through the Old Testament era, come to the time of Christ, and then we have the New Testament era. And you can see that we have an arrow pointing from the Old Testament era, pointing ahead to Christ. What's going on there? For everyone in the Old Testament era that by the grace of God recognized they were helpless and received the gift of faith, what would that gift of faith be like? They understood they could not save themselves, and by the grace of God, they were looking ahead to the time when the Messiah would come and he would do his work to take away the sin of the world. So by faith in the coming Messiah, they were saved. All those people in the Old Testament who believed. What about us? It's a little bit the opposite. Here we are living in the New Testament era. I think it's easier for us. So we have the book that tells all about the Old Testament era, all about Jesus, all about what he has done. So what has God done for us? God has shown us our helplessness, and then God has shown us who Jesus is, what he has done. He's given us the gift of faith, and now we're looking back to who Jesus is, what he has done, and rejoicing that through Him, we are forgiven. So everything is pointing to Jesus. He is the only way, but He did it for everyone. Nobody is left out. But the reason why I wrote the brochure, though, is I'm afraid that people don't know these things and they're holding on to something that will not get them into heaven. We have one more week. We're going to talk about a little bit more. These are the topics we'll come to next week. And then I'm hoping you'll get a copy of the brochure and make use of it in many and various ways. At this time, let us pray. Father in heaven, even though we have all fallen short of what you require, you did not lower the bar. Instead, you sent your Son into this world to be our perfect substitute. And in doing so, we know that your Son made the one way to heaven. We certainly do not deserve it, dear Father, but we thank you so much for loving us and so much for what Jesus did for us. Please keep us trusting in Christ alone for eternal life until finally we are with you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.